So let's take our Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Had a yard full of robins a while ago. Yep, I was. I'm excited about that. I'm wintered out, aren't you? I've had all of it I want. If it never snows again, I'll be happy. We'll have Snowmageddon next weekend. You watch. You watch. It ain't over. I don't think it's over yet, but we'll see. We'll see. I hope it is. All right, 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible here says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." All right, so the Lord, Paul said in the first century, that the Lord was coming again. And verse 2. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Lord is at hand." So somebody had spread a rumor that the Lord had come back and the people of Thessalonica had missed the rapture. That's what verse 2 is telling us. And Paul said, no. Don't be alarmed. Don't be worried. The day of the Lord is at hand. It has not happened yet. But somebody told them, and they were all distraught about thinking they had missed the second coming. Verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." All right, so here is the Apostle Paul telling us that there is this Antichrist, this beast who is coming, this man who will be the man of sin, and he will be revealed during after the church is taken away. All right, look at verse 5. Paul reminds them, don't you guys remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So Paul preached on these things when he was in Thessalonica and told them about all this. "And now ye know," verse 6, "what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." All right, I want to continue speaking to you on the subject of the Holy Spirit in the end times. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit of God will work in the end times. We have learned the last several Sunday nights about how the Spirit of God works in this day, in our lives, and how the Spirit helps us as we serve and as we grow in the things of the Lord. But I want to speak tonight on the role of the Holy Spirit in the end, in the end times. If you will look at this seventh and eighth verse, you will see just a little idea of what the Spirit of how the Spirit of God will work in the last days. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here tonight, and thank you for the music that has prepared our hearts. And I pray now that you will bless as we look at the eternal Word of the living God. Father, I pray you'll bless and fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. And I pray that the message that is given will be something that will be clear, that it will direct us, that it will help us and strengthen our faith and what we believe about the end times. Father, we're so thankful that you have a plan for this world. And I pray that you will bless us tonight as we look at your wonderful, amazing plan for the days ahead. So bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you again tonight on the subject of the second coming of Christ connected to the Holy Spirit. We have been looking several Sunday evenings now at the person of the Holy Spirit of God. And I want us to look tonight at the Holy Spirit and his plan in God's plan for the or his role in God's plan for the last days. As I'm sure you know that there are three references to our Savior, the Lord Jesus, coming to this earth. Three references clearly seen in Scripture. The first is the coming that happened 2,000 years ago. And in the first coming, the first advent of our Savior to this world, Jesus came to his own. He came to his own. In the book of John, chapter 1, in verse 11, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So he came 2,000 years ago to mankind. But we know the Bible also speaks of his second coming. There is a second advent that we are anticipating. And in this second coming of Christ, he is going to come for his own. All right, so he came to his own the first time he came 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem's manger, but now the promise is he is coming again, and when he comes the second time, it will be for his own. If you will just go back a page or so, you'll find 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you look at verse 16, you will see Paul says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Amen. So that is the second advent, the second coming of Christ, and that has yet to happen. It has not occurred yet, The folks at Thessalonica thought they had missed this. And that's why they wrote Paul and asked the questions about it, because they thought that they had missed it. But Paul says, no, you have not missed the rapture. It has not happened yet. This is Christ coming for his saints, and we call that the rapture of the church. And then there is a third reference to Christ coming again. And in this coming, he is coming with his own. At the end of the 7-year tribulation period, to put down the Antichrist and to establish his 1,000-year millennial reign upon the earth. If you look at verse 8, it says, and then shall that wicked, and you'll notice wicked is capitalized. The implication is that wicked one, the Antichrist, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his, what's the next word?
Coming.
There you go. So he will come a third time back to this earth, all the way back in the middle one that I just gave you, at the rapture, when he comes for his saints, he comes in the clouds. But with this coming, at this advent, at the end of the tribulation, we call that his second coming, and that is when he comes with his saints to establish his millennial kingdom. Now, to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the end times, I think it is important for us to understand the purposes behind the writing of the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul was the man who started the church in the city of Thessalonica. And he taught them and discipled them and got them grounded and settled in the things of the Lord. It appears that one area where he trained these folks, one area where he trained these people, was in the area of the promise that our Lord would return to the earth. And they got all excited about it, like most people do. I remember when I first got saved and I heard for the first time the message on all of this, and man, I was just enthralled. I could not wait to get home and read all those passages and read all those verses that the preacher had read that night. And I had so many questions about it. I was thrilled. Well, you can imagine how they must have felt. And they got excited about the promise that Jesus was coming again, that he was going to return for them. However, some unforeseen events happened. Some of their church members died. They passed away. And when that happened, they just weren't prepared for that. They thought the Lord was coming. They figured, you know, any day now, the Lord's going to come back and we're just all going to go to heaven and it's all going to be over with. But the Lord tarried. And when the Lord tarried, some of their church members passed away. And so they wrote a letter to Paul, and they wanted to know what would happen to their departed church members when Jesus came for his own. And the book of 1 Thessalonians is the letter from the Apostle Paul to the church, explaining to them what would happen to the dead when Jesus comes back again. And then soon after that, trials came upon the church. And the folks in the church got discouraged, and the trials became so great that the members of the church, some of them, began to wonder if maybe they were in the tribulation period. You see, they thought, wow, we must be in a tribulation period. Look at all this persecution, and look at all these trials that we are facing. And so they wrote another letter to Paul, and they asked him, did we miss the rapture? And Paul writes back and explains to them, no, you have not missed the rapture yet. And 2 Thessalonians reminds them of what Paul had taught them when he was with them in the church there in Thessalonica, and when he was encouraging them about the things of the Lord. And so he writes this second epistle, this second letter, to let them know that they had not missed the rapture and that they were not yet in the tribulation period. So Paul lays out God's plan for the last days. Now let's take a look at that plan and see how the Holy Spirit fits into that plan. First of all, I want you to notice the order of the events. Notice the order of the events. Folks, listen, there are several things that Paul says will happen. And he tells us about the events that are going to happen. Now, I have told you and preached to you many times the fact that God has a plan for the last days. He has always had a plan for the last days. Always. And by the way, God's plan for the last days is right here in the book. And the reason that there's so much confusion and folks don't know what God's going to do is because people don't read the Bible. All you got to do is read the Bible. God does not hide his plan from us. It is evident and clear right here in the Bible. And so here is what God said through Paul. Here's what Paul tells us is going to happen. Here's the order. He says, look at your Bible. He says, first of all, in verse 3, there's going to be a falling away. Well, I think we're seeing that in our generation. Verse 4, he said that there is something that is going to happen, something that is going to take place. Verse 3, he says that there is this man of sin, this falling away. And this, go down and look at verse 7. The mystery of iniquity is at work. So what we're seeing today is this mystery of iniquity at work. And that mystery of iniquity is causing the falling away. We are seeing that, I think, in our generation. And the mystery of iniquity, Paul says, will just keep on continuing to abound. It will grow. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It is, Paul said it was working back in his day. Now, what is the mystery of iniquity? Well, the mystery of iniquity is that sinful spirit that is in the world. It is that spirit of Antichrist that permeates everything in our world. It is that spirit of sin, that spirit of wickedness that is authored by Satan, which leads people to be opposed to God. It is that spirit that creates an antagonism among the world to the things of God, to the gospel, to the truth. And it is a mindset. It is a way of thinking. It is a world view that a lot of people have, unsaved people have. It is how they view the world. And this spirit can be seen. Folks, listen, men have identified it. Men have given it a label. And this spirit can be seen in government. It can be seen in politics. It can be seen in religion, in churches. It can be seen in education. It can be seen in our schools and in our colleges and in our universities. It can be seen on television. It can be seen in Hollywood, in the movies that they come out with. Folks, listen, you can't tell me that they can't make a movie without vulgarity in it. Now, you just can't tell me that. They write that vulgarity into the scripts. And that's why I'm not interested in seeing it. I don't want to go watch it. I don't want to go listen to that garbage. I got saved out of that. I don't want to go pay somebody money to sit down and watch that kind of foolishness. No, sir. I mean, listen, it used to be that people would hide themselves and they did not flaunt the way they viewed things or how they saw things. But today, oh my goodness. I mean, people today, these folks could care less who knows what they are, and they will shout it to the highest hills and tell everybody what they are today. And the media makes heroes out of those that are the most brazen among them. You say, well, Pastor, what are they called? They're called liberals. That's what they're called. And that it is that spirit of Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity, that mindset that is opposed to the truth of God. I have heard folks, and I've heard a lot of folks say it in the last few years, that our world today is just tumbling out of control. I mean, it is just, it's bad and it's getting worse. Every single day just reveals more of the slide away from truth and away from God in which our world is living. Two weeks ago, Senator Ben Sasse put a bill on the floor of the Senate. And you know that the Senate needs 60 votes to get a bill through, all right? And this bill that Senator Ben Sasse put on the floor got 53 votes. 53 votes. All of the Republicans voted for it, and 3 Democrats. 3 of them. All right, so 53 to 47, the measure failed. 53 to 47. You say, well, Pastor, what was the bill? The bill said, now listen to this, the bill said that if a woman has an abortion and somehow the baby survives that abortion. Now let that sink into you. If a woman has an abortion and somehow that baby survives the abortion, which says to me that sometimes they do. Now here's what the bill said. If that baby survives the abortion attempt, then that baby must not be killed on the table. That's what it said. That baby must not be killed, but every effort must be made to save that baby's life. Now, folks, every single one of the demon rats that are running for president in 2020, every single one of them, Harris, Booker, Gillibrand, Pocahontas, Klobuchar, all of them voted in favor of killing that baby. That is infanticide. That is murder. Now, where does that come from? That does not come from the Bible. You will not find that in the Bible. Where does it come from? It comes right out of the pit of hell. That's where it comes from. That is of the devil. So we are certainly seeing the mystery of iniquity continue. All right? So, first thing, the mystery of iniquity, Paul said, listen, you haven't seen the rapture yet. Let me tell you what's going to happen. Before the rapture, you're going to see this mystery of iniquity continue. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. And boy, we're there, aren't we? Secondly, the rapture of the saints will then take place. All right, look at verse 7, the second part. Look at this now. Watch. Look at your Bible. Look at verse 7. It says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, the word let that you see there in verse 7b means this. It means to hinder. To hinder. Paul said that sin is going to just continue to get worse and worse and worse. But then Paul said that there is someone who is today, now, letting or hindering. Now, this one who is hindering is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, the theologians, they all want to sit around, you know, to Greek speak, and they want to debate endlessly and argue about whether this is a reference to the church. Is the he here, only he who now letteth will let until he, and they want to argue, is that the church or is that the Holy Spirit? And they'll sit and debate and thrash it around and throw their opinions and look at you sideways if you don't agree with them. Now, I personally don't see the argument because it is the Holy Spirit in the believer, and the believer is the church, and that believer with the Holy Spirit is the salt that hinders the world, that keeps the world from complete and total domination and putrefaction of everything. It is the church. It is Christ in us. It is the Holy Spirit in us that holds back the corruption and keeps the devil from completely just dominating everything. So the taken out of the way, in my opinion, is Paul referring to the rapture of the church. That is when the salt is removed from the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. And so when we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, all of us saved folks, all of us believers are going to be in heaven. And when we go up, the Holy Spirit goes with us. All right? And so this is the rapture of the church, when God's people are taken home to heaven. Now, look at chapter 2 and verse 1. And Paul is speaking here of the Lord coming back. He's talking here. He tells us. Now, we beseech you, look at it, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. So he's talking about the rapture. And he says that the day of the tribulation period cannot happen until first there is a falling away from the truth, which I think we're seeing all over America, and then mystery of iniquity will abound. Now look at the next thing. Look at verse 8. Paul says once the church has been raptured, then the Antichrist is going to be revealed. Verse 8. He said, and then, when the church is taken out of the way, when we're gone to heaven, then shall that wicked be revealed. So once the church is raptured to heaven, then the tribulation period will come. Now, folks, listen, I know that the weather has been kind of wild here the last few years. But let me tell you something. Read Revelation. You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, if you think that it's been rough for the last few years, buckle up. Man, I'm glad I'm not going to be here is all I can say. All right? It's not going to be good when the tribulation period starts. And once the church is raptured to heaven, then the tribulation will begin. And don't forget, folks, these people in Thessalonica thought they had missed the rapture. They thought they had missed it because they were experiencing persecution from Caesar and from Rome. But Paul said, no, you hadn't missed the rapture. No, you're not in the tribulation period. All right, so then at the end of that tribulation period is going to be the Lord Jesus at the end of verse 8 coming with his saints. All right, verse 8, we see Christ coming with his saints. So Jesus came to his own, then he is coming in the clouds for his own, and then at his second coming, at his return, he is coming with his own. All of us that were raptured up to heaven, we're going to come back with him, and we will rule and reign with him during his millennial reign. This will be the time when there will be perfect peace upon the earth. And Jesus will sit down upon the throne of David in Jerusalem and will rule the entire world. Oh, what a glorious time that's going to be. All right? Now, let's trace quickly the activities of the Holy Spirit through this time. Just a couple of things I call to your attention. First of all, notice in chapter 2, verse 7, that at the rapture, when the church is gone, the Holy Spirit goes with us. All right? It says, only he who now letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. So right now, it is the Holy Spirit in us that is holding back these liberals from completely doing their thing. All right? We are holding it back right now. All right? This will allow the devil and his Antichrist and his false prophet to work unhindered and without restraint. Right now, what is keeping the government in check is a bunch of Christians who every time something happens, they stand up and they say, no, no, no. No, no, no. And we're criticized. Oh, you know it's true. My goodness. I mean, what is it that is holding the government in check? I'll tell you what it is. It's a bunch of believers who are clinging to their God and their guns and their religion. Amen. Does that sound familiar to you? All right. It is a basket of deplorables who actually believe that there is a thing called the truth, and they believe in that truth. They believe that right is right and wrong is wrong. It is a bunch of people who actually believe in their heart of hearts that it is a horrible thing to murder a living, live human being, whether that human being has just been born or whether it's still in the womb or whether it's in a nursing home somewhere. But the Spirit will still convict the sinners during the tribulation period, though. You say, really? Yes, sir. Take your Bible and turn over to Revelation 7 real quick. Let me read you what will happen. Revelation 7. Look at verse 9. After all these 144,000 soul winners go out from sent out from God in the first part of this chapter, in verse 9 it says, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a," what's the next two words? "A great multitude," there you go, "which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Look at verse 14. He said, "And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now go back to our text in 2 Thessalonians 2 and look at verse 9. And Paul said of this Antichrist, even him whose working or whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. So here, folks, is a great number of people who have not heard a clear presentation of the gospel. You know that to be true. There are people right here in America who have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, much less all over the world. And John said they were from every nation under the sun. And they're going to hear it from these 144,000 that go out and preach the gospel. And he is telling us that there will be a large number, a number that no man can number, John said. And I think this is Paul teaching here that in 2 Thessalonians 2, that if you have heard the gospel and rejected the gospel, then you're not going to get a second chance. You'll believe the lie. Look at verse 10. He said, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Because they rejected the truth. "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion." Why? That they should believe the devil's lie. They'll believe the devil's lie. You see, God will send strong delusion so that the lie of the Antichrist, the lie that he tells, will be one that Christ rejectors now will believe hook, line, sinker, and eye of the pole. I mean, they'll swallow the whole thing. You mark it down, folks. And there are right now billions of people on this planet who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've never heard it. They know nothing of the blood of Jesus Christ. They know nothing of the Word of God. They know nothing of redemption. They know nothing of salvation. You say, well, Pastor, how are these folks going to get saved? They're going to get saved by the preaching of the gospel by these 144,000 Jews. And the Holy Spirit will convict these people and bring them into the family of God, baptize them just the way he baptized you and me. Now look at one more passage and I'll be done. Go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Look at verse 1. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Now Jesse, you remember that was David's daddy. All right, so he comes out of Jesse, the tribe of Judah. All right, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch. Notice that's capitalized. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Watch this now. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Right here, folks, we have a summary of the work of the Holy Spirit during the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. It is the Spirit of God who will lead us as we rule, and it is through His power that we will govern. So all of this means that today, right now, the Holy Spirit is holding back the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of Antichrist that is so permeating our society. I don't know about you folks, but I am sick and tired of liberalism. I am. I'm just sick and tired of it. I am sick and tired of what the devil is doing to our society. I am sick and tired of Beyonce and Jay-Z. I'm sick and tired of the Kardashians. I'm just sick and tired of it. I don't want to see that garbage. I'm sick and tired of Bill Maher. I'm sick and tired of Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, I'm just sick and tired. I don't want to see what they have to say. Don't put them on the news and tell me what they say. I don't care what they say. But they think somehow, even Fox thinks, they got to tell us what they think. I don't care what they think. And I'm tired of all of it. I want to hear what Jesus thinks. I want to hear what the Lord thinks. I'm tired of Hillary. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Barack and Michelle or Michael or whatever it is. I'm tired of hearing about socialism. I'm just tired of hearing about it. This Ilhan Omar is exactly what you get when you mix Islam with Bible Christianity. This is what you get. And it's not going to get any better. I'm tired of it, folks. And you know what I believe? I believe Jesus is coming again real soon. And I'm ready for him to come. How about you? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, I'm not done, but I'm going to quit.